here we are, back at week two of Winds of Change. Last week was all about answering God's call on our life and preparing for that change. And man, I pray that you've answered the call of God on your life, that you know how to deal with the temptations that come our way, that you're walking with other people and embracing spiritual family. But here's the deal. I pray mostly that you recognize that the power of God's word, that seed in your life when your heart is right, does so much. That is the seed of destiny, that when we allow it to be planted, God's speaking to us. God speak to us. That seed, it blossoms into change. And so this week, we're going to be talking about what real change looks like. Like, how do we see that practically? How does this happen? Like, what are the things that need to be in my life? What do I need to be, to see, to do? So this week, the title is Change Your World. And just really simple practical steps on how you can see change, God change in your life. Because here's the reality. We can all change routines. We can change what we watch, what we listen to for better or for worse. But I want you to get this, that what you do in your present is an indicator of what you believe about your future. That's so foundational and key. Like, what you're doing right now really shows you what you believe about your future. Listen, if you believe that like a worldwide flood was coming, you'd build an ark. If you believe that the best is yet to come, it has real world impact now. So what do you believe about your future? Is God going to use you to bring change to the world around you? I'm here to tell you that's His heart. That's His desire. That's my heart, to see you impact the world because you are following Jesus. You've answered His call. That word is down in you. God's spoken to you and you are following Him step by step. You may not know the whole plan, but Jesus has called out to you, hey, follow me. And you say, I'm going. That's the very beginning. So what is next? Like, what are we gonna look at today? It's out of Mark chapter 6. So you can turn there. It's chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. And Jesus is beginning His ministry. And it says this. It says, Jesus went from village to village teaching the people. And He called His 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick. No food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take a change of clothes. That's interesting that Jesus sends His followers out and says, no money, no change of clothes, no food. Oh, but you need to go with another person. So here's how we change our world. You ready? You have to be willing to go. It's number one. You have to be willing to go when Jesus speaks to you. But how we go is so important. I don't know about you. I've got kids, and I've taken them on a lot of road trips. My wife's family, part of her family, is out in Tucson, Arizona. That's quite the drive. We've been there quite a few times. And we're on the journey, but not everybody all the time is happy about the journey. And if you've ever been stuck in a vehicle for 21 hours with kids that whine, when are we there yet? I've got to go to the bathroom. I'm thirsty. Like, after a while, you realize that it's not just like you hear life's about the journey. But let me tell you, when you got four kids and you're going to Tucson, that journey can be miserable if everybody there has a bad attitude and is focused on what they don't have or what they want or what they need. We need to be willing to go, to follow Jesus, but how we do it is huge. So how do we do it? How should we go? He called His 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two. So here's how we go. We have to go together. Who is on the journey with you? If your walk with Jesus is so personal that it's just you and Him, it is not a biblical walk. Because throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we see this. It is about the people of God coming together, walking together, doing life together, following Jesus together. He sent them out two by two. Why? To show you, to show me that we need each other. Are you going together? Oh, yeah, but you don't know what people have done to me. You don't know where I've come from. I can't trust it. Listen to me. Those are all fear-based questions and statements. Where's your faith? If Jesus has called you, He's calling you not just to Him, but to other people to walk this journey with. He always does. The second thing, we're not just called to go together, we're called to go in power. Look at what Jesus says, that same verse. He called his 12 disciples together, sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. What does that mean? Like, I go around casting out evil spirits? Well, maybe. But here's the crux of it, that we're to go in his power, not our own. See, Jesus didn't say, all right, James, John, you guys pair up. I want you to go cast out devils. He gave them his authority. And that we are to go, be willing to go on the path that Jesus has for us, not in our own strength, but in his. Not with our authority, but with his, recognizing that we have the power to break the curse of sin and death. The power of the enemy in our life has no merit, no ground, because we have been given the authority of Jesus in our lives. It doesn't make us Jesus. It should make us more dependent on him, because we know that we're going together with other believers, but that we have the power of God in our life, and we don't have to fear the tactics or the plan of the enemy. It's how Paul and Silas, two great men of faith that we see in the New Testament, when they were arrested, beaten, and thrown in jail, they began to sing. Not because they were crazy, not because they were delirious, but because they knew that the enemy, the worst that he could do was harm their physical body. But they recognized that there was a power in them that was greater than what they were walking through. We need that power in our life. And you know what? Those two guys didn't stay in jail. God miraculously got them out, and they transformed the world. And when we walk in that power with other people side by side, it changes the world. We're to go together, go in power, and then here's the big one. I love this one. We're to go as we are. To go as we are. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick. No food, traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, no change of clothes. What's he saying? No, you don't need anything special. You don't need anything fancy. Listen, I'm glad you got the 50-pound Bible that you're lugging around with two hands because it's so heavy. That's cool. But you don't need, like, you need the Word of God in your life, obviously. But there's no special thing like, oh, I have to buy this, I have to do this. You have to be obedient to Jesus and go as you are. Here's what I've found. You know who are the most passionate about seeing other people encounter Jesus? Those who have just given their life to him. I'm like, bro, your life is a mess. Like 6 weeks ago, like, yeah, I know, isn't this crazy? And they drag people to church, and they pray with people. Like, how is that? Like, they don't have a theology degree. They've never been to seminary. They don't know, like, the rules of church and church world. And yet they're leading people to Jesus. You know why? Because they're going as they are, because of what Jesus has done in their life. And man, I pray that the passion and the fire of Christ lights you up. Go as you are right now. What has God done in your life? Have you forgotten? Man, I pray that fire burns bright, that you get that. Man, maybe you're just like, man, I'm more like a coal. Well, I pray that the winds of change, the wind of the Holy Spirit blows on your life and fans you into flame, that you begin to glow and you begin to burn with what it is that God's done in your life. And you tell people, man, look at where I was. Look at what God's done for me. Look at this, so that you can go together. So that you can go in the power of God, but you can go right where you are from. You can do what God's called you to do right now as you are, as you turn from your junk and follow him. You have to be willing to go, though. Be willing to go. Here's the second thing. You have to know who Jesus is. That's the second thing, not just about him. You have to have a revelation. There has to be a light bulb moment. It's not just, I have... like, it's mental ascent for many people. I've watched this. I know who I am. I am a sinner. I recognize that Jesus is the He paid the price for sin on the cross, and he died for me. And like, yeah, that's all true. That's all super, like, mega true. But for some people, I'm just watching and going, it seems more like it's ritual. And like, it's duty. It's not revelation and joy. Look at what Jesus says with his disciples. Now, this is after they've seen all sorts of crazy miracles. They're following Jesus. They are going. He sent them out. They saw some crazy stuff. They came back. And then Jesus, we see in chapter 6 and chapters 8, we see like these miracles where there's like 5,000 fed and like 4,000 people fed. And all they had was like a little thing of food, like crazy miracles. And they've been walking with Jesus. But in chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, it says, Jesus and his disciples left Galilee and went up to the villages near Caesarea Philippi. As they were walking along, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" He's asking them this question, "Do you know me? Do you know who I am?" Now, they have been walking with Jesus for quite some time. They've seen miracle after miracle. I mean, they've been right there. They've had a front row seat to everything that's happened, all the craziness, all the miracles, all the moments where Jesus has proven who he is. And yet you would think that he's proven who he is, but he's asking them, "Hey, who do people say that I am?" And this is their response. "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist." "Oh, some say Elijah," another person answers probably. "Others say that you're one of the prophets." And then Jesus says this in verse 29. He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" If you want to change your world, you have to be able to answer that question from a very deep-rooted place of truth in your own life. Is Jesus the guy on the cross? Is Jesus the one that you once had an emotional, maybe spiritual moment with? Or is he more? Peter replies, it says, "You are the Messiah." Okay, that was huge. The promised one, the Savior of the world, the Savior of the Jewish people, the one that would enact and bring about all the change that the prophets forever had talked about. He's saying, "You are way more than a prophet. You are God in human form. And you're not just the Messiah, but my Savior." Who do you say that Jesus is? Man, a lot of people want to see God change in their life, but until you're willing to follow him and know that deep-seated truth that he is not just the guy on the cross, but he's your Savior. There's been revelation. There's been a light bulb moment where there's been spiritual enlightenment that takes place. More than simply head knowledge, there's been a spiritual renewal. Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world. He who follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." How can he say that? Because he's waiting and wanting us to have that light bulb moment. Peter says, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus ends up saying, he says, "Hey, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. It's my spirit. It's a spiritual moment." Do you know who Jesus is? Man, to change the world, to change your world, you have to be willing to follow Jesus. You have to live in the place of remembrance and revelation. Remembering where you were and walking in the revelation of who Jesus is. Knowing and revelation are two different things, because revelation is momentary, but it's a thing that we can always go back to I remember. And it's some of the weird things I remember. I remember Ms. Brookhouse's class in ninth grade at Jennings High, algebra, and me not understanding at all, and then a moment it clicked. I had a light bulb moment. I went, "Oh, I get algebra. I understand it." The revelation took place, but that didn't mean that I could do derivative calculus without any problems. I had to walk in that knowledge that I can do this because those revelations happen. There's an analogy there that I want you to get. Yeah, you got to be willing to follow Jesus, but I pray you walk in the revelation that he is your deliverer, your Savior, your Messiah. And here's the third thing. If we're going to change our world and the world, we also have to follow Jesus' commands. That's the third thing. There's a great example in Mark 12. It says, "One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate that Jesus was having with some of the religious leaders, and he realized that Jesus had answered well, and so he asked this question. He says, of Jesus, of all the commandments, which is the most important?" And Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this: Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." And then he said, "The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." So I'm going to ask you a question, and then I'm going to ask some specifics. Do you love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength? Do you? Then what do you hold on for yourself? Have you ever put something before Him? Have you consistently, have there been patterns of putting your desires before God's word and His command? That's sin. If you know that it's wrong and you still do it, how much do you love God? I'm not saying that to bring condemnation. I pray that the Holy Spirit begins to convict you in the areas where you know what the right thing is to do, but you're not doing it, and that you recognize that's the deceptive nature of sin. James 4:17 says, "To the one who knows the right thing to do, but doesn't do it, to that person, that's sin." If you are violating your own conscience, how much more are you violating the Word of God? Are you really following the commands of Jesus? There were so many. There were 613 mitzvahs, laws, in the Old Testament that every good Jewish man was required by his 13th birthday to have memorized. All of them. Memorize them. 613 laws that they had to abide by. And so I think it was a pretty valid question that this religious leader asked Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, which one's the most important?" But Jesus' response is not a specific law, or for us, not a specific sin that we need to rid ourselves of, but of this command: love God with all your heart. You know where you're falling short. Love Him with all your heart. Are you able to give? I mean, okay, what are the big ones? Am I able to walk in purity, and what I look at, what I listen to, what I speak, is that godly? What my hands do, where my feet go, am I able to give to God, give to other people? If you're unable to give to God your time, of your skill, your talents, or financially of your treasure, there's an issue there. Man, our checkbook, it's really a great indicator of what we value. Are you able to love God with all of your heart? What is it that you're holding on to? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Well, my neighbor's a nice person, I do. I don't have to agree with people to love them. I don't have to like what they do. I don't have to enjoy their presence or their personality. Because sometimes people's presence and personality is really pretty repugnant. But I should be able to see them as God sees them, as a wayward child. I've been many times in the situation in third world countries where I see a little 3 or 4 year old kid, no clothes on or hardly any clothes on, nobody watching him, like running around, and my heart is always, oh my gosh, what do? Can I go help? And I've picked up kids and carried them, like, hey, who's this kid for? Because they were about to go into the road. This sort of thing has happened multiple times when I've been on mission trips and been in third world countries, like, because I want to make sure that kid's okay. And I believe everybody that's listening to me right now, you'd be like, yeah, I'm going to do that too. I'd do that too. I believe you would. But what about the guy that's on the corner holding up a sign? It's our immediate response, dude, get a job. I see you here every day. And while that may be a valid, you know, truth that you want to see happen in this guy's life, you don't know what he's gone through. Are you able to love him? Do I love God? Do I love people? I want you to change the world. but it begins with our heart, a heart that's willing to go, a heart that's had a revelation, a light bulb moment of Jesus, and a heart that's willing to follow his commands and walk in purity and love for God and people. Love isn't always touchy-feely. My dad loved me an awful lot, still does, but he whooped my behind as well. Love is wanting the best for the other person and doing whatever you can do to see that happen. My prayer is that your world changes. It begins with a heart. Here's the really cool truth, and I mentioned this verse earlier. In John 3:16, God says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Because love gives. "For God so loved that he gave, so loved you that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him won't perish, but will have everlasting light." God loves you right where you are. He wants you to follow him, not because he wants to take you on a crazy, terrible ride. He wants to take you on a crazy, awesome ride as you trust him and follow him. I pray that you have a revelation moment. Maybe right now the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart, and you need to surrender to him and follow him. It starts with a prayer, something like this, and you can pray along. "Jesus, I believe you're the Savior of the world, but I believe that you know me, and so I surrender to you. Forgive me for my sin. I follow you. My life is yours. In your name I pray. Amen." Listen, if you prayed that prayer, it's a new day. I pray you had a revelation and God's met you. You prayed that and you meant it. I'm telling you, he has. And my prayer is that you can grow. I want to connect you with people that can help you grow, connect you with resources. You need a Bible. You need somebody to help you understand that. I want you to grow. And if that's the case, click on the button in the chat. Let us know what's going on. And I hope to see you, not just on a screen, but in the real world, as you grow and you go. And you know this, as you follow him, the best is yet to come. God bless.